Amen. So the Lord, he's been equipping us to live fearlessly and without regret. We've been walking through with God as he's been helping us to live outside the bubble that, you know, society, our past, and even our own minds have put ourselves in. We've been learning not just to talk the talk, but actually to walk the walk by faith. And so are you ready to continue our study through Hebrews chapter 11? Yeah. You ready to continue to live by faith? Walk in it, run after it maybe a little bit? All right, well, here's what we're going to do. I want to once again put up on the screen this statement, this declaration that I want us to once again say together. So let's throw that up on the screen. Are you ready? Together now. Lord, teach me to live by faith. One more time. Lord, teach me to live by faith. We just prayed, by the way. That was a prayer. God hears our cry. And when we cry out to him sincerely and with faith, and we ask him to increase our faith, do you think it's God's will that we would live by faith? So are we praying the will of God? Does God respond to his will? He does. He does. And so I'm excited because we're going to continue to walk into some serious faith here. God's word's been revealing just how simple it really is to walk by faith. We like to complicate things a whole lot as people. I think the enemy wants us to think that the Christian life is so complicated and so difficult so that we'll just kind of give up and sit down. But we're learning as we're diving into the Word of God that walking by faith is really simple. We've looked at several different lives already. We've looked at Abel. We've looked at the life of Enoch, of Noah. And last week we looked at Abraham. And today we're going to allow five people to demonstrate that faith leaves a legacy. That's going to be the title of today's message. Faith leaves a legacy. There's a guy named Jonathan Edwards. He was a Puritan preacher from the 1700s. Check out that dude's hair, man. I'm thinking about showing up next week like that. Okay, I'm not. I was joking. I'm not. It's from the 1700s. Jonathan and his wife, Sarah, left a great godly legacy of faith to their 11 children. At the turn of the 20th century, that's the 1900s, American educator and pastor A.E. Winship decided to trace out the descendants of Jonathan Edwards. This is like 150 years after Edwards passed away, right? And his findings are astonishing, the legacy that Edwards left, especially, though, when you compare the legacy Edwards left with the legacy of another man of that time named Max Jukes. You see, the legacy of Max Jukes came to the forefront when the family tree of 42 different men in the New York prison system traced back to Max. 42 guys. See, while Jonathan Edwards, his godly legacy included one U.S. vice president, three U.S. senators, three governors, three mayors, 13 college presidents, 30 judges, 65 professors, 80 public office holders, 100 lawyers, I don't know if that's good or bad, and 100 missionaries. That was Edwards. Max Jukes, his descendants included 7 murderers, 60 thieves, 50 women of debauchery, 130 other convicts, 310 paupers with over 2,300 years lived in the poorhouse, 400 who were physically wrecked by indulgent living. In fact, it was estimated that the family tree of Max Jukes back in the day cost the state, us, the people, the citizens, $1.2 million to take care of these people. That was the legacy of Max Jukes versus the legacy left by a godly man named Jonathan Edwards. See, we understand that the faith of our children and the next generation is ultimately the work of the Holy Spirit. But we're also reminded that one generation can release God's grace to the next generation. God uses one generation to release his grace into the next generation. We find that throughout God's Word. Let's continue our faith journey. Open up your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to be starting out in verse 20. Hebrews 11, beginning in verse 20. God's Word says, by faith, there we are again, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshiped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. And by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. All five of these people, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, the parents of Moses, they were highlighted as heroes of faith because they lived in such a way as to leave a legacy. Faith leaves a legacy. And today's text is going to uncover three ways that faith leaves a legacy. And number one is this: faith leaves a legacy of blessing. Faith leaves a legacy of blessing. Verse 20, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. And by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshiped as he leaned on the top of his staff. So living by faith means leaving a blessing. Blessing is a custom that was established by God. It's highlighted throughout the Word of God, and it's meant to function really in every family. What is a blessing? It's basically one person imparting the message and the image of identity and the destiny to the heart of another person. And it's a big deal, because the blessing from parents actually release supernatural grace into their children's lives. I mean, for real. When one generation is blessed by the prior generation, there is a supernatural release of grace into their lives. When a child is blessed by their parent, there is a supernatural grace that is released from heaven into that child's life. We read about it throughout Scripture. And I want to point this out, that we're going to be looking at natural children, but this just isn't about natural or biological children. This is also about spiritual children. I think of the Apostle Paul. He didn't have any biological children, but he had many spiritual children like Timothy. I think of Elijah and Elisha, spiritual children, the next generation, passing down spiritual DNA to the next generation. So if you're not a parent, hang with me here and hang with the Word of God, because this is for you too, because every single one of us is called to be a spiritual parent. That's the Great Commission. We're all called to be parents. We're all called to pass down the blessing, the spiritual DNA of Jesus from us to the next generation. We're all called to do this. This is a word for the church, the whole church. We understand that the blessing Isaac intentionally and by faith spoke over his son supernaturally released God's grace over his life. And the blessing that was spoken from Isaac over Jacob actually released him into his destiny. It determined his future. This is why Jacob aggressively went after the blessing. He understood it. His mom understood it too. They understood how important the blessing really is. Jacob knew that the blessing would determine his future, would change his destiny. And so he aggressively went after the blessing from his father. I want to make a statement that I believe to be true, and that is that for a child to live out the fullness of their purpose, they need the blessing from their parent. They really do. I'm not talking about for a child to survive. There are many in the room, probably even right now, whose parents aren't alive and you never received the blessing. So don't give up. But you're here right now, and maybe you have a biological child. Maybe you have spiritual children right now. We can start a whole new line, a whole new way of living. We can get into agreement right now with God's way, and the destiny of our family tree, both biological and spiritual, can be completely different. It can all start with you. If it didn't start with your parent, it can start with you. So let's not look at this with regret. None of us in the room. Let's not look at this with regret or shame. That's not from the Lord. The Lord wants you to look at this word, this way of living by faith and engaging with faith and affecting an entire generation and the generations to come. He wants us to look at this with excitement. He wants us to look at this with awe that He would actually use us to speak words over others that would change futures and destiny. So this is an exciting word. Look at this. Even Jesus needed the blessing. Is it really important? Even Jesus needed the blessing. When you go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, verse 22, it says, "And the Holy Spirit descended on him," descended on Jesus, "in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven." And here's what was spoken over Jesus. "You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." This is the Father blessing his son, speaking over him, declaring identity into his son, declaring purpose into and over his son. And I look at this and I think, if Jesus needed the blessing of his father, I mean, come on, he's God. Fully man, fully God. He was just at the right hand of the Father, only doing what the Father told him to do. I mean, they're like tight, you know what I'm saying? They're God, they're Father, Son. I mean, this is amazing, right? And God is showing us the importance of Jesus even receiving the blessing, the Father speaking identity and purpose over his life. How much more do our children need us as biological and spiritual parents to speak the blessing over them, to declare into their lives their identity that's found in Christ, their purpose and their destiny that they have that's been determined and been blessed and from the beginning of time? How much more do our kids need that? They need it. The Apostle Paul, he reminded his spiritual son, Timothy, of the blessing. Let's pick this up. It's found in 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning of verse 5. Paul writes, "I've been reminded of your sincere faith." He's writing to Timothy. "I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice." There's some legacy there, isn't there? "And I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, because you've been given a rich spiritual heritage," I'm reminding you of it right now, Timothy, "because you've been given this rich spiritual heritage," don't forget about it. Don't forget about it. "Because you've been given this heritage, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Now there's a picture of spiritual blessing, of a spiritual father now engaged in passing on the blessing, the spiritual DNA from one generation to the next. So you have the natural blessing and legacy passed on from Timothy's biological bloodline. And then you also have the spiritual blessing and spiritual DNA that's being passed on from his father in the faith, the Apostle Paul. And he's saying, you know what you have. Remember what you have. Remember what's been spoken over you. Remember the legacy. Remember the blessing. And fan into flame the gifts that have been prophetically declared into and over your life by your biological and your spiritual parents. Fan it into flame. Don't let it burn out. Fan it into flame. You've been shown it. You've been taught it. You've heard it. Now be confident in it. Use it and walk in the blessing. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, Paul continues, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Man, when I read that, I get excited. I mean, I feel like I just got out of the huddle and the coach just gave me like the pep talk of the whole season. And I'm like, I want to leave a legacy. I mean, I read about this. I look at this. I look at how Paul is reminding Timothy of the importance of this and to grab hold of it, to remember it and to walk in it. And I'm like, church, let's leave a legacy. Let's be those who pass on to the next generation that legacy of a blessing. It's powerful. It will launch the next generation, our children and their peers, into something even greater than. I mean, you think about how Jesus, how can he say you're going to do these things and even greater things than this? Because he passed on a blessing to his disciples. Part of that blessing was the fullness of the Holy Spirit. God living inside the church, inside of us now. Come on, that's big stuff. That's the blessing. So let's bless the next generation. Let's fan into flame. Help the next generation. Fan into flame the gift that God has spoken over them and given to them. Let's watch God as we fan into flame that blessing. Watch God powerfully use this next generation to go from glory to glory, continuing to bring the kingdom of God into this world where the lost are being saved and the darkness is being pushed back. Because we're walking by faith and we're leaving a legacy of blessing. In Genesis 27, we discover a cry from the heart of a son to his father as Esau said this. He burst out with a loud and bitter cry. Now, you remember what happened, right? Jacob went and got the blessing. He understood the value of the blessing. Esau, he was discarding the value of the blessing, selling it even, just for some food, you know, thinking so short term. Jacob went after the blessing and got it. And then Esau, realizing the blessing had been given to Jacob, is bursting out with a bitter cry. And listen to what he cried out. He said to his father, bless me. Me too, father. Bless me. Oh my goodness, what have I just done? Bless me too, father. Can you bless me also? And I'm telling you, I believe this remains the cry of children today. In our time, even right now. There are so many children walking around right now that are crying out inside their heart, oh, bless me. I want to be blessed so badly. I need a blessing. I want my parents to bless me. I want my biological parents to bless me. I want my grandparents to bless me. I want my spiritual parents to bless me. I just need a blessing. I know I need it. It's the cry of a generation, even still today. Bless me. Bless me. So we're called to leave a legacy. Whether you're a parent or a grandparent or a step-parent, no matter the age of your child, I want to say it's not too late. You say that again, it's not too late. But my son is 50 years old. It's not too late. It's not too late. I haven't seen my daughter in 12 years. It's not too late. It's not too late to leave a legacy of a blessing. It's not too late. So how do we do that? What can it look like? I'm just going to throw up an example of what it can look like. How can we walk into this and actually leave a blessing to the next generation, to our children, both biological and spiritual? First thing is we need to meet with them intentionally. We got to get together. We got to meet intentionally and by faith give them the blessing. So it starts with that. It's pretty simple, right? We just get together. We meet with them. And then what do? We declare over their life that they are fearfully and wonderfully made. What am I saying? We declare over them their identity, who they are. So many people running around this world today, they have no clue of who they are. They don't even know why they're here. The world tells them you're just a blob, you're an accident, you know, all kinds of things. That's what they hear from the world. And so many people, that's what they embrace. They need to hear the blessing that they are fearfully and wonderfully made by the Creator of the universe, who knows their name and every hair on their head. So we get with our children and we declare over them the identity that's been spoken over them by the Creator of the universe. That's what we do. And then we remind them that God has special plans for them, a hope and a future in the Lord. We declare over them their identity, and then when we remind them of their purpose, why they're on this earth. You're here to know God. You're here to enjoy Him. You're here to glorify Him. Begin to declare the promises of God's Word over your children. That's blessing. Blessing. The enemy will rob us. Man, well, I did that, you know, when they were 4 years old. And I read Bible stories to them and I read Bible verses over them when they were 4 years old. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't remember almost anything when I was 4 years old. Help me out. Speak it over me again. In fact, when my dad will write me a note or say something on the phone or even in person to me, a blessing of any kind, it goes so deep into my spirit. It goes so deep into my heart. It's like it almost physically starts to just warm me up from the inside out. I'm going to be 50 years old this year. I still love hearing the blessing. I still love receiving the blessing. It's not a one-time thing. It's not a one-time thing. And then what do? We speak the heart of God into their heart. We speak the word of God into their heart. We speak the love of God into their heart, and we just watch what God will do. We watch what God will do. We leave a legacy of blessing. The second thing that we're learning here from Hebrews 11, verses 20 through 23, is that faith leaves a legacy of hope, leaves a legacy of blessing, and faith also leaves a legacy of hope. Let's pick it up in verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. What's Joseph doing here? He's reminding the next generation of the promise. He's reminding the next generation of the promise. He is planting hope into the next generation. He's leaving a legacy of hope to the next generation. So faith leaves a legacy of hope, not a legacy of despair. Faith leaves a legacy of hope, not a legacy of despair. So what are we speaking over the next generation? Are we declaring doom and gloom over the next generation? Or, like Joseph, are we speaking life, hope, and a future that's grounded in God's promises? What are we declaring? Are we talking about a bleak future to the next generation? Are we telling them the best is behind us? The church, we're falling apart. It's never going to be the way it used to be. It's all downhill from here. Sorry you missed out on it. Or are we reminding the next generation that greater things are yet to come? After all, Jesus is coming back. Have you read your Bible about what's going to happen before he comes back? About the increase of prophecy, dreams and visions, moves of God? The numbers, the increased numbers coming into the kingdom of God, the darkness being pushed back. Have we read the word of God lately to see just how exciting the future is? What are we speaking? Greater things, son, greater things, daughter, next generation, greater things are yet to come. God's promises are yes and amen. They're not has been. They're yes and amen for right here and right now. Jesus is coming back. The future is bright. We have a hope and a future that's found in him. And after all, we win. We win. So why so downcast? Why so negative? Why so doom and gloom? Why do we get on the bandwagon that we find in social media? It's so easy to curse the darkness, and I'm sick and tired of it. We're called to shine the light of Christ Jesus. It's the light of Christ Jesus that pushes back the darkness. Amen. We don't focus on the darkness. We focus on the light. Amen. We don't look for the darkness and play around in the darkness. We run to the light. The light shines in us and through us and dispels the darkness. That's what we do. And so we don't doom and gloom it. Hope and future. The light of Christ Jesus. When I coached high school basketball, I witnessed two different kind of coaching styles. I had the choice to coach one of two ways, really. See, some coaches would prep their teams by getting their players in a huddle. Come on, guys. And then they would actually proceed to tell their team how good the opponent is. And they begin to point out, you know, all the all-stars on the other teams. They begin to tell their team, coaches do this. I don't get it. But they'll tell their team just how that team that they're about ready to go up against just totally destroyed their last opponent. And they do it, I believe, as a means of trying to show them just how serious and to motivate them. But what's going on now in the hearts and minds of the players? They're thinking, oh my goodness, if they did that to them, what are they going to do to us? So that was one way of coaching, or we could choose the other way, and that is we get together in a huddle and we remind one another who we are. We remind one another what we're here to do. We remind one another how as a team we will be successful like we were last week and the week before and the week before that. We remind each other that we're going to lay it all out. We're going to give it everything we have. And I would remind my players every single game at the beginning and throughout the game, every one of you is a shooter. You don't tell a kid you're not a shooter and you're a shooter and don't do this. No, no. You remind them that they are able and that they're out there because they deserve to be out there. Now go do what you're called to do. Go do what you've practiced to do. And let's win this thing. You see, there's different ways to look at life. And faith leaves a legacy of hope. Faith does not leave a legacy of doom and gloom. Faith does not tell the church how bad they're going to lose. Faith tells the church that they've already won. Now let's go take that which he has already taken hold of for us. That's what faith does, and that's what faith speaks to the next generation. So faith leaves a legacy of hope. When I was studying through this and praying through it, of course I'm reminded of that passage of Scripture in Proverbs 18:21 that talks about how the power of life and death are in the tongue. It's so true. What are we speaking? Literally, what's coming out of our mouths? What's coming off of our social media pages? What are we speaking and declaring over the next generation? Life? Victory? Hope? Or doom and gloom. When we speak life, it changes things. So the option is really just twofold. Well, you could do one, you could just not say anything, but that's not why you're here. We're not going to speak doom and gloom. We're going to speak hope, because faith leaves a legacy of hope. After all, faith is being sure of what we hope for. What we hope for. Jesus. What did Peter call Jesus? He called him our hope, didn't he? Faith leaves a legacy of hope. Let's dive into the third characteristic of faith that we discover here in Hebrews 11, 20 through 23, and that is that faith leaves a legacy of protection, leaves a legacy of blessing, leaves a legacy of hope, and faith leaves a legacy of protection. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. You're like, Pastor, you're cheating. I think you already talked about how faith protects us in like another one of the messages, maybe when you talked about Noah and his faith and how the faith of one generation actually had so much power that it pulled along the next generation into that ark and rescued them. That's right. Because faith leaves a legacy of protection. You can't get away from it. That's how powerful how we live life and how we pass down the things of God to the next generation really are. Faith leaves a legacy of protection. It was modeled by the parents of Moses, who protected their son and therefore released their son into his God-ordained destiny. Didn't let the enemy snatch him. Didn't let the enemy rob him, kill him, or destroy him. But their faith protected their son. Changed a whole nation, didn't it? The faith of these two parents. But I want us to make sure that we understand that the physical protection that Moses' parents provided him is really a picture of the spiritual protection that we are called to provide for our children. Again, both biological and spiritual children. The spiritual protection that we can actually live in such a way and pass down faith in Jesus in such a way to set up our kids and launch them into their God-ordained destiny. You think, man, I have that kind of power? Well, it's God. We mentioned that in the very beginning, right? It's the Holy Spirit who does all this work. But rest assured, God uses us. We have a part to play. Throughout the Bible, there are many, many people that are used by the Lord to release his grace. Many, many parents that are used by the Lord to release his blessing over the next generation. So we have a pretty important part to play. It kind of goes up a notch now, doesn't it? It's not just about you. I know most of you know that, but if you didn't, I'm bursting your bubble. It's not about you. It's so much bigger than that. And for me, that gets me excited. So much bigger. So how do we leave a legacy of spiritual protection and pass down our faith? In Deuteronomy 11, Hebrews 11, Deuteronomy 11, verse 18, let's check this out. Here's what God's word kind of highlights for us, and I believe is a great roadmap and prescription for leaving a legacy of protection. It says, fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them what now? The word of God, the promises of God, the truth of God. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children, that's the next generation, may be many in the land that the Lord swore to give your forefathers, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. And so, based on Deuteronomy 11, how do we leave this legacy of protection? We get into God's word. We get into the truth, into the word of God, and we get into it in such a way that we take it in to our own lives and embrace it in our own lives and actually walk it out and live it out in and through our own lives. But it's not just about our own life. It's about also then including the next generation in taking in the truth and walking it out. And so like Noah did with his sons, we bring our children along with us. We include them in this process that we've already gone head over heels into, and that is the Word of God, the truth of God, and pursuing Jesus. We share it with our kids. We walk it out in front of them. We talk it out with them. It becomes part of doing life. All day and every day is what we see in Deuteronomy 11. All day and every day, no matter what you're doing, man, you're including your kids in processing God's truth, in processing His presence. We leave a legacy of protection that way. We be God's word to our children. But we also be God's word to our world, to our coworkers, to our classmates, to our neighbors. And we bring other people along. And I'm here to say once again that the world is longing for the church to be the real deal. And I know a lot of the church is the real deal. But the world is longing, our children are longing, our neighbors are longing, our coworkers are longing for us just to grab hold of God and to bring Him to them, to show Him to them. And when we do that with our children, our neighbors, and others, we are leaving a legacy of protection because we're bringing other people to Jesus. The only place we find protection. In Christ, we let it ooze out of us. I don't know why I have that in my notes. I guess I was just feeling that. We let it ooze out of us. See, faith reproduces. Do we see that? Faith reproduces. It's not just for us. It's not just for this generation. You see, so many decisions that are made in the world today where people are just thinking about themselves. They're not even thinking about their children. They're not thinking about 50 years down the road. Faith, real faith, leaves a legacy. It reproduces. It is shared and it's passed down. It leaves a blessing. It leaves a legacy of hope. And it leaves a legacy of protection. So I want to ask you the million-dollar question, as they say. What legacy are you leaving for the next generation? What legacy are you leaving for the next generation? What are your children, biological and spiritual children, what are they witnessing in and through your life? Where are you leading others? What are you drawing others into? What are you envisioning others with? What legacy are you leaving the next generation? What are you leaving your children? Now, I don't want you to get all down right now because the enemy wants to beat you up and go, oh, man, you haven't been doing a good job at this, or you blew it. You know, when you raised your kids, you didn't get this and you didn't do this. And I want to point us back to what are you going to do now? What are we going to do this afternoon? What are we going to do tomorrow? Some of you might call your kids that live out of state. You might take some of your savings and invest in a plane ticket so that you can go visit them. And speak a blessing over their lives. You know they need it. You know they want it. You've got what they need. You've got a blessing. You've got words to speak into their lives that will supernaturally release God's grace over them and launch them into a pretty fabulous destiny. I want to encourage us when we process God's word to act on it. And I hope what you're seeing here is it's simple. It's not about just having the right words. It's about speaking over your kids the truth of God's word. I just want to pray. Let's close our eyes. I want to pray for parents in here right now. Lord, I just ask that, Holy Spirit, that you would, even right now, that you would lift up our spirits right now. God, that we would not have our spirits hanging low, that we would not have our heads hanging low right now in condemnation. For you are not wanting to put on us condemnation. But God, you're simply wanting to call us into the glorious life and influence that we can have in this world today. So, Lord, I ask that faith would rise up right now, a faith that pushes back condemnation and shame, and a faith that embraces your word and embraces the blessing, a faith that doesn't just talk about it, but will walk this out and speak your word over the next generation. A faith that will boldly declare the identity of this next generation, of who they are in Christ Jesus. A faith that will declare the purposes and plans of God over the next generation. A faith that will declare life and not death over the next generation. A faith that will declare liberty and victory over the next generation. God, I ask that faith would rise up in every one of us in here, and that we would truly leave a legacy, a blessing, hope, and protection for the next generation. And Lord, for the children, for the next generation that's even represented in this room right now, in Jesus' name, I just declare over you that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. That you are here for a purpose. That you are not an accident. Your life is not an accident. And your future is not going to be an accident, because God has ordained your steps. He has created you to be used by His hand in beautiful and powerful ways, to bless others, to bring life, to bring wholeness. He has created you to know Him, to walk with Him now and forever, and to enjoy Him. I speak blessing over you, life over you, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, let's stand up.